I don't know as much about this as I should. I'm not a big podcast listener. I work at a radio station and I host a podcast of my own. But as I understand it, in October on the Apple platform, the number one podcast in America, and there's a million of them, was over My Dead Body Season 3 on the Fox Lake Police suicide of Joe Glinowitz. He tried to stage it as though he was shot in the line of duty. The line of cars that lined his funeral procession measured 18 miles. He was hailed as a hero. And then some people said, wait a minute, wait a minute. And that's the podcast that our guest has been, well, working on, worked on, and has dropped to great acclaim. Matt, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Good. Matt Baglio. Is that a fair setup or send up? I mean, just give us the nuts and bolts of this story first.
Right. This is a story that happened in 2015 and involved in a police officer from Fox Lake who was a local hero. You know, he had a nickname of G.I. Joe. And initially, he'd reported going into a swamp and following three men. When the backup came, they found him, you know, shot and killed. And there was this massive manhunt that was launched as the town came together to really celebrate him. And there were a lot of issues as well with what was going on in society, and it was politicized a little bit. This was a moment, you know, where we were having this discussion about the role of police in society and these kind of things. So Joe Glinowitz became this hero, and then they launched this investigation to try to figure out what really happened. And, of course, as they began to dig a little deeper into his life, they began to learn things about him, and they weren't always matching up to this idea of him being a hero.
What were some of those things?
Well, I think, you know, initially it was that they were hearing things from his fellow police officers about some of the things going on down at the station. He had this personnel record that I think surprised a lot of people. And it was tough for the investigators because, you know, not all of us have perfect lives. Joe is no different, but you're trying to investigate a homicide. They're trying to figure out what really happened to this individual. So I think the surprising one was, of course, this hit that he had, you know, perpetrated or wanted to put out on the village administrator. So among the things that he had done, including, you know, not showing up for work and various things, there was an allegation against him of sexual assault for a fellow police officer that happened many, many years before this, you know, 2015. You know, so he was a complicated individual, to say the least.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, 2015 isn't that long ago. So he says, I'm going into the swamp. I'm going after these guys. Then we found him shot. So he dies. He's dead. He was either shot by somebody or maybe he took his own life, died by suicide. And, boy, you hate to make that accusation, don't you? Well, you'd better be right about that if you're going to level that charge against the hero police officer, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that was sort of a criticism, I think, that was labeled or that was put on, you know, on the investigators. How did they not know this was a suicide? As you mentioned earlier, you know, it was a, you know, Joe Glinowitz was an expert in staging crime scenes. He was the leader of the Explorers Group, which is the youth policing program that most police units have. And he was training these kids. And one of the ways he would train them was he would create these mock crime scenes. And then he would sort of take the kids through them and have them figure out what happened. And that's essentially what he did. He used one of these scenarios and staged his own suicide to look like a homicide. So I think initially when investigators went into the swamp, and it was complicated, you know, it was a very hot day. It wasn't a place that was easy to get to. They were, you know, overzealous in their response. You know, the manhunt involved something like 400 officers. There were federal agents, ATF, Secret Service was there. And a lot of these cops were kind of, you know, traipsing over the crime scene and doing these kind of things that you would probably expect when they're out for blood or they want to find these killers. And so, you know, it was a challenge for them to put together what had happened. And initially, I think many people said, okay, yeah, this is easily a suicide, but it wasn't that clear cut. And as you mentioned, they had to be careful because they couldn't just come out. They had to follow the evidence.
Yeah, right. Well, so why would he take his own life? And how, in fact, did he stage it then? Let's pick up here in a minute. Matt Baglio is the host of Over My Dead Body, Season 3, on the Fox Lake Police suicide of Joe Glinowitz. But it's not just that story that they tell. They tell others, too, and ones that you are quite familiar with, both as a podcast and as series on TV or on stream. We'll pick it up here in a minute on WGN. We're talking to Matt Baglio. He's the host of Over My Dead Body, Season 3, this time on the Fox Lake police officer suicide. You may be familiar with some of the other podcasts on the Wondery platform, which I might just mention here real quickly, Matt. I mean, when you look at, and Wondery, W-O-N-D-E-R-Y, tell us what that is.
Yeah, Wondery is basically one of the premier podcasting companies out there right now. What they try to do is put together kind of these old-time radio shows. So when you're listening to a podcast, you're getting the atmosphere, the feel for the story. And this is my first time actually working on a podcast. I'm a book writer, so I come more from print. And it was really fascinating for me to participate and be a part of this process. And I think there are certain stories that really lend themselves well to this format.
You may recognize our guest's name if you saw Argo. That movie was based on his book. You may have read the book. Also on the Wondery site, the upcoming The Shrink Next Door and We Crashed on Apple and Joe Exotic on Peacock and Dr. Death on Peacock and Dirty John on USA. All of those are shows that people are watching based on these podcasts, one of which is yours. By the way, is this going to get some sort of cinematic treatment, this story? Do you know?
I don't know, but I possibly. We can, you know, I hope so. I think that I know there's interest, and I do think that this story lends itself to, you know, some of these bigger themes. We can talk about that later, but one of the aspects of this story is it is a mystery, and I think at its core, any good story needs to be a mystery. You know, we want to know what happened, but there are these larger themes, and you know, you touched on the some of the other shows that Wondery does, and I think they do a really good job of looking for those kinds of stories.
So this is the story of this officer in Fox Lake, and you were telling us a little bit about that a little while ago, but why would he stage his suicide? Why would he take his life by suicide if he was had a job as a cop? I mean, what tipped him, do we know?
Well, it's a great question, and he was basically 30 days from retiring, and so he'd been a cop for a long time. He was a lieutenant more than 30, you know, around 30 years he'd been a cop in Fox Lake, and it's part of the mystery of what really happened. You know, essentially, he was doing something that he shouldn't have been doing, and you know, breaking the law in a way, and it was related to something he was doing with the Explorers unit and the finances there.
Yeah. And, well, were they going to get him? I mean, I wonder if he just saw this net crowding in around him, and he knew his time was up. That the officer that close to retirement's going to spend time in jail, and he couldn't bear that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the million-dollar question. If I could ask Joe, I would, and I'm sure the investigators felt the same way. There are certain clues that they looked at. You know, the FBI had the behavioral analysis unit do a, you know, character analysis of Joe, and I think part of it is this persona that he embodied. He created this persona for himself. He was G.I. Joe. He was a hero. He mentored these kids. They looked up to him. And, you know, there's enough, I think, circumstantial evidence to suggest that he was worried that this village administrator who was sort of looking into what he was doing was going to, you know, figure out that he was breaking the law and his image was going to be tarnished in some way. And that was potentially something he couldn't live with. But that, again, is one theory, if you will. And I think one of the interesting things about this story is there are many theories, and there are even people today who don't believe that he actually took his life.
Hmm. You said that there's other themes at play here. I mean, I remember back in 2015, what were the themes that this also borrows from?
Well, I think one of the main themes here is this idea of what it means to be a hero. We, you know, in American society, we have certain individuals that immediately are labeled heroes. And Joe sort of bought it. He didn't buy into it, but he used, you know, this idea of that he was a cop, he was a veteran, he was a good guy. He looked like a good guy, and he mentored these kids. They looked up to him. They thought of him as a hero. And the townspeople of Fox Lake sort of were the ones who kind of were pulled into this as well by the media. So when this happened to Joe, and this became a national story, you know, they were out on the streets. They were celebrating their fallen hero. He was one of them. He was the best of them. And then when the truth came out that he, you know, had this darker side, they took it really hard. And I think a lot of people were ashamed and felt betrayed. And I think some of these themes are really prevalent in this story, as well as this idea of how, what does it take really to push us over the edge? I mean, Joe, he wasn't a bad guy. He did some bad things, but he definitely crossed the line. And I think that's a question we can all ask ourselves. What would it take to push us over that line? And then how would we react to it?
Yeah, no kidding. Just one other note. I think it's, do you also pay due to the administrator or the journalists or the people that were kind of digging through this? I mean, who leads us through this narrative?
Well, it's a complicated narrative. So what we tried to do is find the principal, you know, participants that could really take us through. So we tried to talk to as many people as we could. And I think, you know, one of the interesting parts, you know, aspects of the story is there are so many sides to it. You know, you have the lead investigator who's trying to figure out what happened to, you know, in the swamp, what happened to Joe. You have the local journalists who are covering this story, looking at it from the angle of the townspeople themselves. And then you have, you know, this village administrator who in many ways was Joe's foil. I mean, Joe was this embodiment of this masculine male hero. And then you have this female, you know, woman village administrator coming in who, for, you know, didn't look all that tough, but she was sort of, you know, not taking no for an answer.
Yeah,
and she,
right,
she set her sights on Joe, and, you know, that's kind of where the story begins, you know, with him spiraling out of control.
Now, the headline in the Daily Herald says, like a Coen Brothers movie, hit podcast puts Fox Lake Linowitz back in the national spotlight. You know, the name that I just wrote down as you were describing that administrator who was dogged in her efforts to, anyway, the name that I just wrote down in front of me is Rita Crundwell, because we in the Chicago area know the Rita Crundwell story very well. She was an administrator in a little town called Dixon, Illinois, that absconded with about $40 million from the town over a number of years and eventually was found out. She's in jail. No, she just got out of jail now that I think about it. So Rita Crundwell is one of those people that was getting away with it, and then they got caught. Her story's been told pretty well locally. I don't know if the whole country's paid attention to it like we have. I guess what I'm saying here is it must be an interesting challenge for the likes of you to find those stories that people know but don't know so well that they don't still deserve some sort of additional research on, right? So break it down, back it up, and tell us the whole thing all over again.
Right, absolutely. I think the first thing as a writer, as a journalist, when you're looking for these kinds of stories, you're thinking, oh, well, this was reported already in the news, so everybody knows about it.
Right.
But that just isn't the case, and you may think it's very popular in that you know area of the Midwest, and it probably is, but the rest of the country doesn't know much about it. And there are, I think, still themes that you can go back and look at. And what I try to do, what I also like to do, is revisiting some of these stories that happened years ago. You know, looking at Argo, you mentioned that earlier, and this story, and then hopefully with the benefit of hindsight and introspection and these kind of things, people will open up a little bit, and we try to get the real story. Because I do think when these events are happening and the media is reporting them, very hard to understand what's really going on. I mean, because people are caught up in the moment, and this was one of those stories. I mean, it took off. And the media was reporting breathlessly on it every single day.
Yeah.
And part of the criticism labeled the investigators was that they didn't come out soon enough and say, oh, this was a suicide. You know, you should have told us earlier, because the news was continuing to report that this was a homicide for for a month and a half. And so, you know, being able to go back and talk to these people and really, I'm not here to judge people. I want to hear their voices. I want to hear their experiences. And hopefully, you know, that will make the story that much more engaging to a listener who doesn't know Fox Lake. It's never been there.
Colleen's on a phone line. Are you in Fox Lake, Colleen? You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, John. Yes, I was living in Fox Lake at the time that this happened. And, you know, I don't want to speak on behalf of the whole town, but there is plenty of people here that still believe that this was not suicide. You know, we don't know all the elements of everything, but when they talk about, you know, where the bullets were, how he did this, and, you know, scraping off whatever $30,000 to $50,000 from the explorers, which is not, you know, a huge thing.
Wait, hold on. I'm out of time, but I wanted to at least get your voice in there, because it's exactly what our guest says. There's some people that still don't believe it. Matt Baglio is the host of Over My Dead Body, Season 3, is about this Fox Lake story. I'm out of time. I'll let folks find it that way, Matt. But thanks for joining us. And next time you do a podcast, let's talk again, okay?
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us.